B-Pod Studios.
The Mike Missinelli Show. Seven-five, the Fanatic.
Hey, y'all. Mike Missinelli. 97.5 FM, Philly's first FM sports station.
We on an uneven playing field, top of the totem pole. 97.5, Mike Missinelli Show. Si, senor, we numero uno. And internationally large, just like a sumo. 2-6, Monday to TGIF. Mikey misses the Philly where Hades the wide clef. A man of the people, ambassador. Put this bull in the ring, they turn the matadors. All competition completely non-existent. Burning up the phone lines, record number listeners. All the biggest names and the hottest topics. A runaway train in a drive time slot. It's kind of hard to stop us. On remote, standing ovation just like an opera. The best show on earth, I feel that's very proper. The most electric sports talk, ain't no need to shock ya. Turn your radios up, Mike's ready to rock ya.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to the Mike Missinelli Show, the start of another week, broadcasting from the Xfinity Studio. And what do my eyes spy on the other side of the glass? Like a desert oasis. She's back.
Hello, Mike.
Natalie Agonoff.
Wow.
Back in the studio.
I'll tell you what, it's weird, but I'm so happy to be here.
Well, we're glad to have you back.
Yeah.
And this is the first time I'm actually seeing you.
Yeah,
since
I was
you
waving.
Were tucked away in the back,
I
wasn't looking through the window.
I know.
So you've got your plexiglass shield here.
I do.
And Tyrone's in the same studio on the other side of the plexiglass shield.
Yeah, we're reinforced
so
here.
So you guys are, you're back. Reunited and it feels
good.
There you go.
Good.
Here you go.
Yes.
All right.
Yeah.
How you feel, Ty? All right?
Yeah, I'm good.
All right, good.
Yeah, how are you?
All right, yeah, I'm good. I'm in a, you know, I'm in isolation over here, so I didn't, you know, I'm always in the same spots. I'm good. I was wondering how things are going in there. You guys all right?
Yeah, we're good.
All right,
it's
fantastic.
Good. It feels like
barrier.
Uh-huh.
And we're already certain distance apart, so we're good to go.
Awesome. All right, we're going to have a fun show today. And of course, the completion of the great epic Michael Jordan documentary is there last night, and I got to say this. The filmmakers made the last episode very dramatic. The music, the cinematography, all that was really good. And we are left with the conclusion, obviously, because this is what the documentary wanted us to realize, that there will be no greater basketball player to face the earth ever than Michael Jordan. It was romanticized because you can't help but watch all that video of him playing basketball and the dramatic moments with Michael Jordan's career and not realize he was the greatest ever. It was designed to be that way. And this is going to get in the crawl of some people. Like Tyrone, this is going to get in your crawl today.
Nah.
Yeah, I think so. I think a little bit in your crawl. And so what are we going to do today? I'm going to go over some reflections and see how you react to the reflections.
Okay.
About with this documentary series today.
I did really enjoy the game footage last night.
Yeah.
Partially because I hate that Utah Jazz team still.
Really?
Why
would you hate that team? They're like so unhateable. Like,
nah, they're hateable.
What would you hate about them?
Karl Malone's always real corny to me. Cornball. Then I found out later that he does some shady things, but real corny to me. Mm-hmm. Didn't like Karl Malone at all.
Mm-hmm.
Hornacek, I hate it because he came here, didn't want to be here. Wasn't his fault in hindsight, but I couldn't stand Hornacek. He's on that squad. Stockton, I always thought was a dirty player. Ostertag, I couldn't stand. Like, I couldn't rock with that Jazz team, so I was rooting
Howard
for
Isley? Come on, man.
I kind of liked the Howard Isley. I did kind of like Howard Isley. He was my favorite player.
Yeah, that was the thing I liked mostly about the series. And you see, I remember that dude. You know these role players that played for the other squad, I liked it. And listen, my opinion before this documentary came along, Michael Jordan's the greatest player ever. You know, I like LeBron a lot. I think LeBron's been shortchanged for his career because of the shadow of Michael Jordan. And I think the documentary kind of makes you realize how the greatness of Michael Jordan and the flaws in Michael Jordan. But the flaws of Michael Jordan have nothing to do with anything, really. Because you can look at a guy who's achieved all kinds of greatness, and however they get to that greatness, you can't quibble. You know, if you become the best player of all time, and during that time you're an ass, it doesn't matter, does it? Because your goal of achieving that was that's all you knew, and that's all you know how to do it. Now, when he's old and gray, I don't know if he'll reflect on things that he would have done differently. I don't think he's the type of guy that will ever do that. He's totally content just snarling at everybody and creating little fires in his brain that would fuel him to be the greatest. And I can't complain about that.
All right.
I can't. Listen, anybody who achieves greatness where you're the best in the world at something, it doesn't really matter how you got there. Does it, Natalie? Does it matter at all? Like, you take a great ballet guy like Baryshnikov or a great actor or an artist, you know, this reclusive, or an author. It doesn't really matter what kind of guy you are.
I mean, I guess it doesn't, but it depends on your personal perspective of what greatness is. Would you be even greater if you were a nicer person? Maybe.
Yeah, but if you were a nicer person, maybe you wouldn't be as great.
It's true.
See, the thing is, if you're chasing greatness and you want to be the best, there's no compromise to that. There's no like, listen, I want to be the best. I want to bust this guy's rear end, but he's a nice guy, so I'm not going to like create a war in my head over him. You got to destroy the guy.
Yeah, you do have to destroy the guy. I don't have a problem with what he did to his opponents.
What is the biggest problem you have with Michael Jordan?
He was a wretched teammate.
But he won 6 titles.
Yeah.
So you can't say he was a wretched teammate when he won 6 titles. Because if he was a wretched teammate, he wouldn't have won 6 titles. His other players wouldn't have responded to him.
Nah, he was that great of a... He was a great player. Second greatest player to ever live. He's fantastic. You have a license to be a jerk, but he took that license too far.
I don't know how you can explain that he took the license too far. If he didn't take that too... So in other words, if he was really a nicer guy, would have won 8 championships? Like, what's the line you draw?
What I think happens is they get to play for number 7 if Jordan's a better teammate. Even though it's not all on him.
What does it really matter you play for number 7? You won 6.
Yeah, but...
Listen, man, you got to hold the fact that he didn't play for the 7th against him?
That's not really against him specifically. It's a crime against humanity that they didn't go fight for the 7th. It's a crime against the sports world that Chicago should be punished for the rest of their days.
Why does that have to do with Michael Jordan?
What I'm saying is if Jordan had those guys cohesive, had he had Pippen's back, had he made sure he got his money, if Pippen signed beyond that year and Jordan takes care of him, all of a sudden to buy in to get their band back together, much easier. But because he never had anybody's back ever once in his entire life, it was very easy for Reinsdorf to snake him and blow up that team.
Well, see, I harken back to Joe Banner, right? Like, the team had to be broken up. Like, if you're really looking at it logistically. Now, the only thing I didn't understand about was why Krause hated Jackson so much. I never got that part of it. So that's the linchpin. It's the Jackson-Krause dynamic. But if you're a general manager and you're examining the team, you go, how much more do I get out of Steve Kerr? How much do I have to pay Scottie Pippen? And if I pay him, how does that rub up against Jordan? And all these other role players that were there that we're going to overpay. Joe Banner would have looked at that situation and go, we're going to lose money if we overpay these guys. And these guys are never going to be the same. We milked every drop out of him. His plan was reasonable.
It was?
Yes, Jerry Krause's plan was reasonable. They weren't going to be as great. This was pretty much the last drop of the lemon juice.
So how'd they do after that?
How'd who do?
How'd the Bulls do?
Well, they broke up the team.
Right, and
all
I'm saying
those guys were gone.
Since then, there's been a generation of players that weren't born.
Well, they obviously didn't rebuild the right way, but the point of rebuilding had arrived.
Nah, you keep Jordan and Pippen until Jordan and Pippen are done playing, and Pippen had more juice left than Jordan did at that point.
Yeah, but
you bring
Jordan
and Pippen back.
Okay,
even if you have to break up around him, you must bring Jordan and Pippen back with Phil Jackson. You have to.
The linchpin, however, is that Krause couldn't get over, like, so you're saying the owner should have came in and fired Krause?
Yes.
Okay. Well, that, but I, see, all this stuff has nothing to do with Michael Jordan. And you, it's saying your original point was if he was a better teammate, it would have stayed together. No,
Pippen
it wasn't.
He would have made sure Pippen got his money. Well, then, or he got Krause up out of there.
The Jackson thing then.
What Jackson, the Jackson thing? If Pippen and Jordan are back, Jackson's back.
He wouldn't have.
Yes, he would have been.
He said he wasn't coming back unless he's 82-0, so he would have had to fire the general manager.
I would have fired.
But Reinsdorf already said he wasn't firing the general manager.
Reinsdorf
was the linchpin.
I mean, he's the bigger creep. He's the biggest creep in the whole movie, in the whole 10 parts.
He favored his loyalty to Jerry Krause over the loyalty he had to Phil Jackson.
And Michael Jordan.
Michael Jordan was the guy. So I'm not playing for anybody else but Phil Jackson. All right. He set that tone. But the bottom line is, he just watched his general manager build a team and won 6 championships. By putting the right guys around Michael Jordan. Because they didn't have that before they put the right pieces around him. So what, Krause did nothing?
Some of that was the maturation of Jordan. More than Krause. I think
it
some
was?
Of that, yes, some
See,
of that to me was Jordan maturing. Because I think that in NBA history, usually around that age 28 is when you start winning.
Yeah, it was mostly because they put the right components around.
I think it was mostly because of Jordan. Maturation.
All right. So we'll talk about it. And I'm going to give you some observations, and I want to have you react to it. So you still think that LeBron James is the best player of all time over Michael Jordan?
Yes.
Even after watching that documentary?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it was a documentary of things that happened 20-some years ago. Not like a documentary of stuff that
okay,
did.
Okay, no. And your main reason for that would be what?
That LeBron does more things,
mm-hmm.
has done more with less, and when I break it down piece by piece, component for component of the game, I give Jordan very few check marks. And my eyes.
Okay. All right. You said it. Now, there's a lot of people who disagree with that.
Yes, they do.
And you know how I feel about LeBron.
I know.
But I have seen both players substantially in my sports covering career. And I would say that Michael Jordan is still number one.
And after
watching that documentary, it reaffirms some great moments in the career that I go, only that guy could have done that.
And you know what? That doesn't bother me because you're laying it out. I got a lot of people who talk about how it's not close and there's no argument. Those are the people that I have a problem with.
No, it's close, and it's ridiculous that the whole onus for this thing was that this guy Jordan couldn't stand the fact that there are people out there like you. Yep. So you are the reason why that Jordan documentary was on.
And I would like to tell America, you're welcome.
All right. 610-632-0975. You notice I got my blue Beats on today.
They look good.
I noticed them.
Yeah, except they're just bad connect.
Oh, no.
Yeah, these aren't exactly vibing with our system. I have it's a fuzzy situation.
So those can be wireless, right?
I don't know. Yes, these are.
Yeah, so I think it's the cord. You got to get a new, probably longer cord that goes from the headphones to the thing.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
All right, so that's our engineering people have to hook me up here.
Yeah, I texted you.
I know. I feel like I missed so much. I didn't know if I missed those. Yeah.
I got a pair of bigger Beats.
I come back. You have facial hair. You got these headphones.
That's right.
I haven't seen you with the goatee.
You might get the longer hair.
Yeah.
Wow. This is the, you know.
Here we are.
It's what you do in a pandemic.
It is.
You don't give a crap. 610-632-0975. Mike Missinelli Show back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
It is the 2 o'clock hour, and Natalie's back, and so she's going to be delivering our Twitter poll live in the studio. Our Twitter poll, of course, is coming up in a second, but the 2 o'clock hour, as always, is brought to us by Ferguson HVAC. Lyon Conklin, attention HVAC contractors, visit Ferguson's counter location on North 7th Street in Philadelphia. Equipment, parts, supplies, every heating and cooling job. And our Twitter poll, brought to us by Paul B. Moyer & Sons, if you need a new mower, zero turn mower or other outdoor power equipment, you got to go to Paul B. Moore and Sons. They're the experts. They can talk you through and tell you which machine is best for you. You can order online at paulbmoore.com or give them a call. They have contactless pickup in Doylestown, PA. Just show up and they'll load it for you. Natalie.
Thanks, Mike. Today's poll, should the Jordan Bulls have had a chance to go after their seventh championship? 82% say yes, 18% say no.
All right. Six is good enough for me. They need a seven for me. I'm good. I'm good with the six.
Yeah, but they might have lost. But the point is, you that's what you do in the NBA. Mm-hmm. You pass the torch. You play. Those guys still wanted to play. When you win six titles, you're owed a chance to go after the next one. And if the Spurs with Duncan and Robinson, they probably would have beat them the following year in 99. But that's then it's now Duncan and those get the rub from beating the great Michael Jordan. And that makes that Shaq and Kobe thing even bigger. That's how it works in the league.
Yeah, but it works better for the Bulls that they retired at the six.
Not really, because they wanted to move on.
It would have been humiliating to lose in the seven.
Why would it be humiliating?
Why would that be humiliating?
So losing to Tim Duncan, a top 10 player, because that's not humiliating.
Because this way, you still have it open-ended. It's like, man, they could have won a seventh, but if they got slain, then that would have been an absolute death of them rather than the uncertainty of it, which lives on forever.
Maybe, or what if they build around Pippen, they go get younger guys around Pippen and Jordan, and what if they beat those Spurs and they beat Tim Duncan and Popovich? Now look at it. Now you got Jordan made it very clear he wanted to continue playing. And I've already stated, people think I hate Jordan. I don't. He earned the right to go after
number
seven.
You're not wrong. I'm just saying I'm good with the six. You know?
Well, it's like for the story. I think that if Bird and Magic and even Bill Russell and all those guys ended up getting slain on the court, Jordan, who wanted to go out on his shield, he had a right to go out on his shield. If Duncan and Robinson had to beat him the following year, so be it.
Mm-hmm.
He came back and played with the Wizards anyway.
I will say, this is a definite rat move, what he said to Larry Bird.
Oh, yeah.
After the series was over. At that point, dude, come on. Now you can go play golf. Now you can play golf later you like. Now you got time to play golf.
And he said,
hey, he's on the dream team with the guy all-time great.
He had to rub it in.
But it's not like Bird was playing. If he said that to Reggie Miller, different. You said it to the coach.
You just stop with, you guys, good battle, man.
Yeah.
Brother, love you forever. You know, something like that.
Yeah, okay.
And let me just call BS on the, and I know a lot of people are going to, you know.
I know what's coming.
You know what's coming, exactly. This flu game, right? This is such BS. Now, all this whole time, the narrative, well, God, you played with the flu. Yeah, they changed the narrative for the documentary. All of a sudden, out of the blue sky, it was food poisoning from a bad pizza from some sinister Mormon at 2:30 a.m. in Salt Lake City. Just to create more drama.
Yeah, you know what's funny? I remember when the game happened. And I reference my father a lot. Obviously, you're growing up, your father, in most cases, kind of put you into sports. We're watching that game together. I'm in high school. My dad goes, he don't got no darn flu.
You didn't believe it for a second then. Yeah, you know what it kicked in the most? When he made a bad pass or he missed the jumper. You know, then all of a sudden, it was like, you know, like Hang Dog City.
He played, what did he play? 44 minutes with the flu? 44 minutes? That's a lot of minutes with the flu.
He created another narrative. He was such an attention grabber that he goes, all right, I got it. Now let me try this angle. Now they'll even think more highly of me if I go with the illness narrative.
You're going to make people mad.
Come on, man. You got to see that because the narrative changed. You know, it was all of a sudden now it's food poisoning. Right? From a bad pizza. All these years have gone by, we never heard that. Ever. Did you hear that?
I heard it was the flu, but there were people later on, like I think maybe 10 years ago, who tried to say it was food.
All of a sudden, Bob, the story just come out. The details of this story just come out in this thing. We had all these years where those details could have came out.
Right, they could have been. The part about how he's the only one who ate the pizza, nobody touches him.
Exactly.
No, wait a minute.
You know, nobody had a slice.
The part. Now, let me get this straight. Us three, just three of us, are in a hotel somewhere. Mike says, I'm hungry, I'm going to order a pizza. And only Mike eats the pizza? And nobody else has even a little slice.
Two people in a room. His best friend, that guy, whatever his name was, that was in bold picture the whole time. Now, he's a chunky ass. He definitely would have taken a slice. The other trainer was pretty fit, so maybe he wouldn't have grabbed the pizza that late.
But
the other chunky ass would have.
He would have. He definitely would have had a slice, a little slice. Instead, Mike, also,
pick off a piece of pepperoni. Something,
right. That nothing, and then Mike ate the whole pizza. First of all, Mike, why are you eating the whole pizza?
At 2:30.
A whole pizza?
He was hungry.
You were that hungry.
Yeah, so I call BS on that whole narrative. Now, I was going back and forth with Anthony. Anthony is just loved that whole thing. He is the usher at the church in Jordan.
He goes,
I can believe that narrative because I can believe it was a bad pizza in general because Metagons are making it in Salt Lake.
Oh, wow.
That's classic. It's kind of Dell in Germantown. Dell, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Dell.
Hey, how you doing?
What's going on, Dell?
I'm all right. I think LeBron is the GOAT over Michael Jordan, and I got a few reasons as why I feel that way.
Mm-hmm.
I think Michael Jordan, he played for arguably the best coach ever at the collegiate level and the professional level. And you can argue that Doug Collins is as good as any coach that LeBron played for when he played for him. And that 96 Bulls team, that's the best team of all time. I even think they would probably beat the Warriors because if you look from Ron Harper, Michael Jordan, Scottie Pippen, and Dennis Rodman, they could switch on any perimeter player. And the perimeter players are better now in this era than when Jordan played. I mean, all you had was like, when's the last time a big man won the MVP? Was it Shaq or Tim Duncan? You're talking like 10, 15 years ago. We're in the golden age of perimeter players. So I definitely think LeBron is better than Jordan.
All right, well, listen, this is the age-old argument. I you know how much I love LeBron. I just don't think you are. I don't think your rationale it was any good because LeBron needed two other great players too, except the 1 year where he took Cleveland with a bunch of mutts.
Oh, okay, that's true. But if you look at it, when LeBron got Dwayne Wade, he was hurt. I mean, like Dwayne Wade's prime was like when he was like 23, 24 when he was supposed to be in his physical.
Nah, man, Dwayne Wade was still a great player, man. Come on.
No, he still was.
He was a great player. The problem with LeBron is that he deferred to Dwayne Wade instead of taking over. Like, Jordan would have taken over.
Okay, so how come Jordan didn't take over, like, the first 7 or 8 years he was in the league then?
Well, you're right about that. He needed a team around him, and he needed a coach with the right style. But so did LeBron.
Yeah, so did LeBron, too. But Michael Jordan is, like, deified where they act like, every shot he took, he started moonwalking down the court to get on defense, and the shot just went in. Like, he never missed a shot, and he, like, single-handedly dragged every team to the finals. And that's not true. He had way better teams than LeBron.
Six titles, bro. I know you love LeBron, and you're trying to make the narrative, but you're trying to ignore the accomplishments of the guy and saying he was only a reflection. No, he led the parade. You know, a couple guys made shots to give him titles. Paxson, Kerr, right? Made a couple big shots. But for the most part, he had to deliver every game, and he did. He did not deliver.
Yeah, it's wrong to to chip away at Jordan, because that actually reduces the person. Mm-hmm. I like to build Jordan up. When mm-hmm. I say somebody's better, I'm saying he's better than somebody that's truly great. It's silly to me to chip away at a great player, because it actually reduces the guy that you're rooting for by chipping away at.
Uh-huh. All right, I'm going to give you statement number one.
All right.
For your reaction here. This is just some observations it was in a story, I guess it's from The Athletic. Jerry Reinsdorf didn't want to pay the rest of the players their market value, said it would have been suicide. That's a bad look for Reinsdorf, who, in my opinion, had been one of the series' biggest winners to that point. Your reaction to that? Agree?
Completely agree. Mm-hmm. Reinsdorf comes off. This is why I'm not going to be passing a plate for the owners.
Mm-hmm.
Those guys got him 6 titles, a new arena. That kind of got glossed over. And the largest backlog for season tickets in history. In fact, that backlog went years and years mm-hmm. and years after Jordan retired. He was still getting money off of Jordan. You pay whatever you need to pay. Plus, there was about to be a lockout, and there was going to be a max contract type situation. So to me, there's just no excuse. There's just no excuse for him to not Jordan and Pippen. And then you talk to him and say, okay, who do you need? What do? You try to get younger. Horrendous move by him. Owners are the worst.
Okay, and you're right about that. But they are owners. So here's the other side of it. Ryan Stewart's going, I ain't about to exceed this salary cap by paying our own players and getting to that level where, you know, I'm not making as much money. I'll take the six titles that we got out of this group because that made me a multi-zillionaire and I don't have to do it anymore. So what's the skin off my nose if I stop this now? None.
Fine.
None. He's an owner. That's an owner's perspective.
And I'm fine with that. But then don't complain when a player holds out or does whatever to get every single dime because that's all he's worried about is getting every single, making every single dime. So then you can't then be mad at the players when they want to get every single dime. People don't. Not you. Fans get mad at players all the time for wanting to get their money. Well, you can't if you're going to defend Reinsdorf's move to cut payroll and just collect all the residual Jordan money.
In this particular situation, though, he got six titles out of not paying. So he goes, all right, I'm not going to pay anymore. I got six championships. I got a stack of money this high now, right here.
Yeah.
It's all my own. What am I going to? I'm not gonna like break the rules, go past the salary cap to keep an aging team together. I got Michael Jordan, Scottie
break
Pippen.
The rules.
Well,
what rules? And there was no luxury tax.
Pushed past the cap.
Yeah, but he was pushed past the cap that last year finally because Jordan stopped taking short money. But Jordan's salary would have gotten cut next year because there was going to be a new CBA.
Yeah.
There's no excuse for him to do that. None.
You're judging it by normal standards. You're not judging it by owner standards.
I am judging it by owner standards. Their job, if you're an owner, you can't only be in it to make money. You have to also be in it to win. If you're only in it to make money, you're a bad owner. You are. You're a bad owner. You have to also be trying to win.
You going
to
tell a guy that won six titles he's a bad owner?
He wasn't. Well, it's been proven that he's a bad owner.
Boy, he won six titles.
He won six titles with Jordan.
He flashes a badge at you and go, yeah, that's
with,
what I got.
With
what
Jordan.
Got?
And what's your non-Jordan resume?
He doesn't care.
No finals appearances.
He doesn't.
How many times have I been to the finals without Jordan?
You're missing the point. He doesn't care. He's got it. He had enough out of that era.
Lucky. He was not a good owner. He's a bad owner.
Let's go to Bill in Fishtown. Bill, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Bill.
Hey, Mike. What's going on?
What's up, Bill?
Before I get to my point, one thing I always want to say about this Jordan documentary, there was a lot of highlights on there of him beating up on the Sixers, on them dreaded Sixers teams, like Dana Barros. And
where was their highlights of that? I didn't see highlights of him beating up on the Sixers.
Yeah, like there was a lot of highlights of, like, they were talking about, like, regular season games, and you would see, like, Dana Barros, Charles Shackelford scenes in the earlier episodes, like,
I don't recall seeing that. I maybe saw Barrows like in a flash in this whole thing. I don't even know what you. I didn't see Charles Shackelford.
No,
it may have happened like 30 seconds of this documentary where a Sixer was on the screen.
Come on, man.
That wasn't bad. Them beating up on the Sixers.
I'll get to my point anyway.
Right.
I don't know how you could watch this documentary after seeing over the years, seeing different players, and not think Michael is the greatest of all time. Now, you could say what you want. We could argue championships and all that. But just the mentality that guy had to refuse to lose. And by the time they won their sixth championship, they were mentally and physically gone. That's why there was going to be no seventh, I think. There was no way they mentally do it after that.
Well, they might have been able to, but they weren't given the chance is the point. So we'll never know whether they would have been able to be refreshed and come back and do it.
Right.
Jerry Reinsdorf and Krause didn't think they would. They reached the max, and they didn't want to pay mediocre players who were declining, I think.
Right, but can you see, I just can never see LeBron having that type of instinct to be a player like that. And don't
We conveniently forget about LeBron's clutch moments and carrying teams. Like, him carrying that team over Golden State was probably more significant than anything Jordan ever did. So, but I understand. See, that's the point of a documentary, to make you feel like there's nobody was ever greater. And so you forget about LeBron because you're mesmerized by the highlights and the circumstances of this guy.
But what about them? What about them finals when LeBron would have, like, horrible fourth quarters and he wouldn't show up in the fourth quarter?
Yeah, see, that's a misperception. And that's unfortunate that you have that misperception, because that may have happened once. And the other thing is, playing with Dwayne Wade, he deferred a lot and didn't take over. And they didn't gain their stride until Dwayne Wade went to him and said, this is your team.
Year two, the second year.
And that's the unfortunate part about this whole thing, because it makes Jordan so overwhelmingly God that you forget that LeBron was great in finals.
Right. You're absolutely right about that. And
that's a natural instinct. That guy now thinks LeBron didn't do crap in his right in NBA finals, right? Like he beat Golden State, the best team ever, right?
Right.
In that final, which is one of the most significant sports achievements ever.
Well, absolutely.
He led that team.
He led the series, the entire series, which had the MVP and all these players.
Yes.
And he led it in points, assists, and rebounds.
Exactly.
The whole series, he did. That 73-9 team, and then won Game 7 on the road in their building.
And the perception was, which is silly, that he wasn't clutch, when the statistics say he's made more last-second shots than anybody. And it's amazing that Michael Jordan made every last shot to win games when Karen Paxson won two championships for him.
Right.
And nobody has any memory of it.
And what's funny is, though, people took, I know people, because they're listening, and some of them are texting me now, took points off because Kyrie made the last shot in that championship.
Yeah.
But they take off for
and
LeBron.
And Ray Allen makes that one shot.
Right. They do that, but they don't take off when they see it. It was in the documentary.
Right.
Prominently, when Curry made those shots, that's because Mike got him open. But when LeBron gets a guy open, that just means he's not clutch. It's very funny.
Yeah,
the double standards.
People want to believe in their discovery. So Michael Jordan, for the majority of people here, was their discovery. And it's the reverence is like belongs to their heart as well. And so here comes this LeBron guy trotting on legacy. And so that they're not looking at it clearly. They're looking at it like he's the enemy trotting on the legacy.
Right, I think that's unfair. Like, Jordan's a truly great player. Like, if I'm saying the guy's second to ever be born, I'm saying he's an all-time great player. I'm not saying that he didn't do all those great things. That last minute against the Jazz was a fantastic last minute. Maybe we'll never see a minute quite like that ever again. He's the second greatest player to ever be born. I don't feel the need to tear Jordan down to lift LeBron up. I don't understand.
Now, let me read this paragraph to you.
All right.
Which is like, it's fawning and yet analytically against Jordan in the same paragraph.
Okay.
All right, here it is. This guy who wrote the story writes, I'll happily admit that I'm one of those awestruck jurors. I am transfixed by the man. His competitiveness, his smile and athletic grace, his mesmerizing coolness. The man is an icon in every sense of the word. Now, that's the landscape of which the Church of Jordan lives.
His smile.
Right? Yes. Now, he's a gravity-defying superhero. Does that mean I think he was or is a perfect human being? Of course not. And to tell you the truth, I don't even believe he was a perfect basketball player. I believe he played against relatively inferior competition and was so far ahead of his peers athletically that this refuse-to-lose mantra, in some ways, wrote itself.
Wow.
That's deep.
Wow.
So he went fawn to analytical in the same paragraph.
Now, that's interesting, because there are actually old-timers who have told me that Oscar Robertson and Wilt Chamberlain were ahead of everybody physically at first, and then the game quickly started to catch up with more guys being in their range. And that's part of the reason why Oscar could get the triple-double and stuff, because he was physically better than everybody else.
Yes.
He just had bad teammates. While Jordan was physically ahead of people and had Scottie Pippen, who was a better teammate than Wilt had at the time and better than one than Oscar had at the time. So that's interesting. I'm trying... Because I don't want to tear down Jordan. So that even makes me a little uncomfortable to think that it was just, you get what I'm saying? Like, that even makes me uncomfortable to, but I will say, when he was scoring against the Celtics, and they lost that, they got swept.
Uh-huh.
But he was toying with those fools. Like, it did look like it was a man among playing with children at times. But I think by the end, physically people were catching up.
All right, now let me leave you with this then. Because this is on the related along that theme.
All right.
I do not believe for a second that Jordan would be undefeated in the finals in today's game. He would be playing super teams, and he wouldn't be defended by Dan Majerle and Byron Scott and Craig Ehlo and Jeff Hornacek and Brian Russell and John Starks. He would be being defended by Kawhi Leonard and prime LeBron James. He would be attacking the rim against Anthony Davis's and defenses prohibited by the illegal defenses of the day and thus allowed to sag into the paint and clog up driving lanes with effectively amounted to off-ball zones.
Hugely true point. That point is...
people are going to like that.
That's the truest point of them all. The defense... I know people talk about the physicality of the game then, and I hear that, but strategically... offense is so much harder now than it was then. The fact that Jordan got to come down that court with, I understand there was no timeout, but the fact it wasn't automatic double team Jordan and make Rodman, first of all, they're up three at the time when Jordan drives. How do you not foul Dennis Rodman?
Not well coached.
How do you not?
That was the choke moment by Jerry Sloan.
So he gets the drive to put it to one before he gets the steal. And it was a great dribble drive. He gets there, but it was one-on-one. Mm-hmm. They have tried to double late, and they don't foul Rodman, who's under 50% from the foul line. Just stupendously bad. Then after he gets the steal, you don't double Michael Jordan? In today's world, Jordan does not get a free reign. Remember, he stole it under the basket. He does not get single covered all the way up the damn court and get to make a one-on-one jump shot against a... Come on.
Are you too old enough to remember the biology class, the Bunsen burner?
We had a Bunsen burner.
Yeah.
And Tyrone, I'm the spark thing.
You are.
Yeah, the flint. And Tyrone's the Bunsen burner.
Yeah, he sure is. Just turns on and lights up.
That is perhaps the greatest minute in NBA Finals history to get the drive, get the steal.
Score, steal,
and then make the jump shot. Yes. Might be the best minute. And the fact that up three, the Jazz decided to not double Michael Jordan tells you what the game was then. Mano-y-mano, quote-unquote, let's beat him up, physical, blah, and what the game is now.
Yeah.
Wouldn't happen. You're
right. All right. 610-632-0975. You saw it last night. Your reaction. I have all these observations I'm going to throw your way. And, you know, the Gary Payton one and all these things. The retrospective of the whole documentary, we're going to, like, bring up in little phases today, including the bad people. Can you imagine those creepy Mormons in Salt Lake City? You know, all this time, I thought they were just, in the background, polite people. And who knew they were like wild western plotters where they would deliver a bad pizza at 2:30 in the morning. Who's even up in Salt Lake at 2:30 in the morning? Well, apparently there's a crew of criminals.
Making bad pizzas.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
The bad
in the pizza
gang. Mike Vizzanelli show back into this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, in the 3 o'clock hour, I want to move into some add a little layers to this show. And of course, this weekend, a lot of people went to the Jersey Shore. I saw the videos and the pictures and the photos. And so I want to know from the people, if you didn't go or if you did go. If you did go, what was your reaction to the people being there amongst you? And if you didn't go, what was your reaction to the people being there? This is the age-old equation here. It is a denial of your civil liberties versus getting sick. And I just need to ask this question. Because I know it has an answer, but I don't know if I have the right one. Why is getting sick apparently secondary to the notion that your civil liberties are being denied? Why is that, you think?
Well, I think that the majority of people who pass away, this is what people I think are looking at. One, they don't know people personally who have gotten sick. One. Two, the majority of people who have passed away are older. So what they're figuring is, I'm younger.
It's not going to happen to me.
Right, but the part that bothers me is, I'm not necessarily worried about Natalie Eganoff, who's a young, healthy woman, catching it and passing away. What I'm concerned about is Natalie Eganoff getting it from going down the shore, then going someplace around an older person and killing that older person because she chose not to do social distancing. So I think it's a certain selfishness as well, because going down the shore for the workers is absolutely about livelihood. Mm-hmm. But the majority of people that were down there this past weekend, it wasn't about, oh, I'm trying to make a living. Oh, my family's starving. It's Jersey
because
Shore.
Because they didn't like being told what to do.
Right, because the Jersey Shore right now, expensive. You got to have some money to afford the Jersey Shore. I'm saying to be able to stay someplace. Mm-hmm. You can go to Paris almost for the price of the Jersey Shore. Mm-hmm. No lie, look it up. So you got to have some scratch. So these people aren't starving. So this is different than the people who are, I need to get to work. This was a different dynamic down the shore.
Yes.
This was. That's a different dynamic than I need to get to work. Let me go to work. I don't have, my kids will starve. No. If you're down the shore, you've got thousands of, like, you don't have $5. You got money. Like, even a modest place anymore down the shore costs some money in 2020. It's not cheap anymore.
Yeah. I saw the line outside of Mac and Manco's. And I'm going, all right, I can see, like, that's part of the shore ritual, which is grab a slice of pizza on the boardwalk.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going, would I ever wait in line for an hour to get a slice?
I actually contemplated it. I looked at the line, too, and I thought,
there?
No, I wasn't there. Oh. No, I didn't know.
You contemplated the question.
I contemplated the question over the weekend when I saw the line, too. I thought, would I drive over an hour and then wait in line for an hour for a slice of pizza? And I thought maybe in this day and age, yes.
Well, see, there's another layer to this. Because not only would you have to wait an hour.
Yeah.
It might be the same kind of pizza that Michael Jordan had in that hotel room during that regular.
And then
series.
You get sick.
Exactly.
Yeah. See, that's another option to weigh.
Correct. All right. 610-632-0975. Let's go to Ryan in media. Ryan, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Ryan? Ryan,
hey Mike.
How you doing?
Hey Mike, how's it going?
Good.
First of all, just about the coronavirus thing, about the civil liberties and all that, just real quick. Mm-hmm. That's before I get to my MJ point.
Mm-hmm.
People, you know, I think a lot of people would have been less upset about staying home and, you know, all that kind of stuff. And, you know, they understand that getting sick is a possibility and that, you know, but there, I mean, there's a lot of hypocrisy going on. You know, there always is with the government. We know that. But, you know, if the government wants to tell everyone that they need to stay home and, you know, this is what you need to do and we're going to shut everything down and tons of people are out of work, you know, they have to make a better effort to take care of people, and they really haven't. You know, across the board, there's been a lot of people who are in a really bad place right now. So, I mean, if you're going to make that bold step of shutting down so much of people's livelihoods.
Yeah, I got you. What happened to you? Did you... Are you still there? We lost Ryan. Oh, what happened? Evaporated.
He was just about to get to his point, too.
Yeah, he was.
You need to land it, because the people, if you're going down the shore, you're not in a bad place and about to starve.
Right.
You're not. These are different people. I sympathize with every single person who needs to get a job, who needs to work. Like, who wouldn't sympathize with a person like that, or a business that's mm-hmm. closing down? And I also saw there were some people down there trying to wear a mask and trying to social distance on a boardwalk mm-hmm. and stuff as it is, but they were overwhelmed by the majority who weren't doing any of those
things. Well, and this is why I need, like, things perplex me, because there should be some simple answers. Like, why would you not, when advised to follow the rule of wearing a mask and social distancing, why would you not do it on purpose? Like, this is the mentality I need to understand. What are you winning? What battle are you winning by doing this?
It's probably just like a self battle. I don't have to do this, so I'm not going to.
Yeah, I mean, I just don't understand that part of it. I understand people have to get back to work. I understand that people are cloistered and their mental health might be suffering. I get all of that. But it's like there's just some simple guidelines that you had to follow. If you look at the countries that have been more successful than us in dealing with this, people are adhering to those guidelines.
Yeah.
You know?
What I was hoping was that 90% of the people out would have masks on, for example. Like, I was hoping for, because I knew people were going to go out. It was nice weather. I was hoping, like, okay, maybe they'll do what in my opinion, is the right thing. I guess there are people out there who think it's not the right thing. But that wasn't really the case.
No, and like just for us today, the company has now put an edict that everybody who works in here has to wear a mask. So, like, I got two choices. I can go, I'll put this mask on, which takes me 3 seconds, or I could walk down the hallway and go, I ain't putting no damn mask on. Now, I don't know why anybody would choose the I ain't putting no damn mask on. Like, that's the thing that's making me nuts.
I agree. I don't.
What's so difficult? Like, explain to me.
And what's funny is I've heard people attempt to make the arguments as to not wearing them. And none of them make sense. None of them. Like, I want to give one of them, okay, I understand that. They're uncomfortable, yes, but if they're uncomfortable, they're not only uncomfortable for you, they're uncomfortable for everybody. But if the alternative is being in the house, I'm going to put the mask on. Like, I don't.
Well, here's the thing. Like, if you're an electrician, when I go up to you and go, listen, man, you know, that's the way you're telling me to rewire a 220 line, put a new 220 line in there, I think you're full of crap. I'm going to do it my way. Or I could say, you're the expert, put the 220 line in. Now, the scientist pops up and they go, here's what, you know, this is our field, so this is the deal. So you go, no, you're wrong. Like, this is what I don't get.
Well,
you
know,
if you respect the electrician, why don't you respect the scientist?
I mean, honestly, in 3 weeks, there will be the outcome of the choice not to wear it.
Well, that's right, because the two, you because got this it'll be week this, and next week.
Yeah, so over the next month or so, we'll see about, you know, they lift the restrictions. You should wear a mask. That's what they're saying if you're out in public. And for those who didn't, they'll have to deal with the consequences. Eventually, that's the only thing that can happen.
I know you like inconvenience, but you don't have to be Koresh. 610-632-0975. 3 o'clock hours ahead. We're back after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.